You're tuned to Rosie on the House and our Best of 2015 show. We'll continue now in the Outdoor Hour with one of our favorite guests, Cheryl Gore with the Arizona Nursery Association.
Executive Director of the Arizona Nursery Association, and we are talking what today?
We're talking about Arbor Day.
Arbor Day.
Big week with a big holiday. That's just about time for everyone to start thinking about planning.
And Friday at the State Capitol.
Yeah, actually Thursday at the State Capitol this year. The actual day is Friday, but we're going to do all the celebrations on Thursday. This day, it's a little easier for some of the school kids and the communities to get there. So Arbor Day is the 24th, but the ceremony at the Capitol is going to be on the 23rd. Community Tree Council, Arizona State Forestry, the Nursery Association, it's going to be a big day. All the new Tree City USAs will get their designation that day. We have the culmination of the art project that the school kids have been doing, sending in their posters talking about the benefits of trees. It's always fun to see the child's interpretation of Arbor Day. And then we'll read the governor's proclamation as well. So it's a really nice day. And then we'll end up by planting a tree down at the state capitol in honor of Arbor Day, which we've been doing for several years. So it's always fun to see how the trees have grown up over the years.
And when you walk the capitol, does it have a little sign by the tree that the date it was planted or that it was on Arbor Day?
It does not, but you know, maybe we should add that to the to-do list. That would be really nice.
That might be fun as you're walking the grounds, because there's a lot of mature trees down at the Capitol.
There are. There's a lot of mature trees, but there's also some areas where trees have gone down for several reasons. The trees do have a lifespan, and we've planted some new ones, and you'll see some new ones down there that are really providing shade. We're excited. This actual tree that we're going to plant is going to give some shade to where the representatives park their cars. So those legislators who work those long hours down there will have some tree and canopy to give some shade.
And that tree?
Their cars hot. I say keep their cars really, really hot. Maybe they'll spend less time down there. Yes, record short this year. That was awesome.
Yeah.
Anyway, there's my political commentary for the day.
Small live southern oaks that have been planted recently down there. It seemed like I remember a couple ash trees that were pretty young. What tree are we planting this year?
Actually, we're going with a different tree this year. We're going with a red push pistache from one of our members down in Tucson, Arizona Pistachio Nursery.
Bernie. And those are fun. 2 years ago, I was sitting next to him. We were both exhibiting at the Arizona Community Tree Council's annual conference. It's always held in Prescott, or at least the last few years when I've attended. And I kept asking about this tree, and it's a red push because every year the new growth is red, and it looks like a Christmas tree in the springtime because the old foliage is green. All the new stuff is red. Red push. It's a pretty tree. And I mean, these were just little tiny. They weren't even big enough to put in a 5 gallon, but he was selling them. And I was asking about them and this and that and blah, 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 blah. So finally, by the end of the day, he says, "Romy, I'm not taking these trees home. Do you want these last 5 for $50? I tried to act like I wasn't thrilled with the offer. And so I've got, there was 2 of them were actual fruiting pistachios, so I've got those at a different part. But I've got these 3 red push that are on the west side of our horse arena that'll actually offer some shade out of the shoots when they mature. So when you're sitting in the box waiting for your turn, you'll be shaded by these big red push because they do look like they get very large.
They're a beautiful tree, and we had some experts go down there and pick out exactly what tree would do best for this site, which we recommend all of you do. Think about what that tree is going to look like when it gets mature and make the best, the appropriate tree for that place.
And now more of our Rosie on the House Best of 2015. Here's more with Jay at Harper's Nursery and Landscaping Company.
Greg, we've had several of the ficus whitefly folks come in. You know, there's a new pest, the whitefly that's getting on our ficus trees, especially in kind of Arcadia, Central Phoenix, maybe west parts of Scottsdale. And the best treatment for that is a systemic drench or granular. So
those ficus are just so tall, there's no way to get up and treat them.
How you'd spray them anyway. That's right. So
we've heard adjectives like plague. They're really scared about what this is going to do to the ficuses in the valley.
Well, maybe it'll finally get rid of it. Oh, I didn't say that.
Yeah.
Coming from the nursery, man.
I guess the extension service had an emergency meeting on it, and they're trying to figure out how to solve this. I guess it's the equivalent of that little pooping jagger thing that was killing all the oleanders, right?
The sharpshooter.
The sharpshooter, which wasn't the actual, the sharpshooter was vectoring a disease called leaf scorch, which, you know, that seems to have calmed down.
Yeah.
And a lot of times these things generally run their course. Okay. And that does kind of happen. But if you had a whole, you know, if you lived on a 5-acre property in Arcadia and it was lined with ficus and you got ficus, well, yeah, I suppose you'd be a little concerned.
There'd be a little property damage there if you lost all those ficus.
Yeah.
But that systemic treatment is how they're dealing with it.
That's according to to my contacts at the Department of Agriculture, that's John Caravetta, that's the best treatment for it.
I want to know who was the first person that was just sitting there out in their yard one day or out in their farm or out in their crop in their nursery and say, you know, if I could just think of a way to put a chemical that doesn't hurt the tree and goes into the and through the roots and
well,
when they eat it on top, they all die. That was pretty creative.
was brought on by the fact, you know, a lot of times when you lose a, you know, due to EPA regulations or costs, when there's a pest or an insecticide that maybe you're losing off the market, you know, science and technology and demand, the market takes over. And these products, this imidacloprid product, we saw a lot of innovation when the white fly got really bad in the cotton. Remember 15 years ago when you could... I can remember sitting at the nursery, looking across the street, watching these little kids going to the school bus stop with their backpacks over their faces, because it was just clouds of white flies blowing in the breeze. That's how bad they were. If you drove between here and Tucson, your windshield would just be
a cloud,
plastered.
Yeah, it would.
And so they came up with these ways to inject, in their case, they drill it right into the ground, a system, so they're not out spraying and crop dusting, which is expensive and harmful and that sort of thing. So, in a very specific pesticide too. So it's just innovation, trying to be safe, trying to be responsible, yet meet the demands of the market.
And here's another question we took quite often in 2015.
In Tucson, Arizona. Welcome, David.
Oh, welcome to me too. Yes, I've got these broad-leafed weeds popping up in my dormant Bermuda, and pulling them by hand isn't working.
All right.
Is there any deadly chemical I can use on them that won't kill the Bermuda?
No, that's just not a good thing to say on the radio, deadly chemical. Well, if they're broad-leaf weeds, whether the Bermuda is dormant or not, there are selective herbicides that can be used without damaging your Bermuda and kill a broadleaf weed. The one we like, you know, is the Fertilome product Weed Out or Weed Out Plus Q, or you can buy it. We saw one called Quinlarac, but it's effective only on broadleaf weeds. It will not kill grassy type weeds, or I should rephrase that. The Quinlarac will kill some grassy weeds, but it won't kill your Bermuda, and especially if it's dormant, you have no problems. Just make sure you do it before they go to seed, and get some pre-emergent on that lawn. You can use a granular pre-emergent like Dimension on your lawn. Don't use the spray orange stuff like Surflam, but use the granular product on your lawn. If you don't plant ryegrass, you can do it spring and fall, and you'll eliminate all of that.
You know, I used to pull the weeds by hand just because, you know, in the lawn, a lot, usually moist enough.
Great exercise.
You know, but you never beat it because you got bird drops and you got haboobs and you got dust storms. You know, to think that you're going to keep it, you know what, I'm going to pull it out so that way the root's gone, there's no chance of seed, that, you know, I'm going to have this weed-free yard.
Sometimes pulling is actually, you know, with spurge, we're finding, which is a summer broadleaf weed, if you're not careful when you pull it, it's got so many seeds on it, you actually might do more harm than good. And one of the methods, when you pull it, you need to pull it right into a garbage bag or something, or you're just going to make it worse and spread it. So the Dimension going on now will really help control that summer weed spurge that's gotten so bad.
So there's products on the market that are selective for broadleaf and different types. Julie, you had mentioned that there's a lot of ranchers that will loan you their goats for weed control. Do they make goats that will eat weeds but not your lawn?
They have to work on that. You know, they can figure just about anything out lately, especially with today's modern technology and agriculture. But that one, I don't think they can.
just curious.
Just curious.
Another wonderful element to the Outdoor Living Hour are the special guests we have in. Like in this case, Arizona Department of Agricultural Director Mark Killian. Why agricultural? You know, I doing the landscape garden hour of Rosie on the House for 11 years now, that's the first thing every person from out of state calls in and says.
Soil's bad or water's
I can't get anything to
alkali,
grow.
Alkali, nothing will grow here.
What's this caliche, these hard clays? Why agricultural? Isn't this a horrible place to do agricultural?
You know, that's the rumor that's out there, but really, agriculture in Arizona is big business, $17 billion industry. We have,
out of curiosity, is there a bigger industry?
I don't believe so. If you you look at the on-farm payroll,
I know the Cardinals don't bring in that much, or all sports teams combined don't do that.
They tell me that's a conservative figure. That was a study that U of A did. And if you take all the ancillary businesses that rely on agriculture, it's probably into the $20 or $30 billion. But let's talk about the soil. Arizona soil is best suited for so many great crops. I was just telling you a little while ago that particularly in the East Valley, navel oranges are probably the best in the world for the flavor and sugar content. You couldn't find better. Back in the 30s, Glendale was considered the strawberry capital of the world. For growing pistachios and almonds and pecans, the climates that we have in Arizona are some of the best in the world, and the nuts that we grow are off the charts. Same thing is with olives. If you look at the specialty crops that we're growing right now, we grow black-eyed peas and Yuma, okay? Most of the winter vegetables that go across the country in the winter come from Yuma. Most of the seeds that are grown that go into Mexico for them to produce all of the fruits and vegetables that come back into the United States are grown in Arizona. Our alfalfa crops are exported all over the world. Our red Durum wheat is the best red Durum wheat in the world. In fact, Italy comes to Arizona to buy the red Durum wheat to make their pasta. So when you see that box in the store that says pasta from Italy, it probably was grown in Coolidge or Arizona City or Queen Creek or, you know. Arizona kind of gets a bad rap. And then you put on top of that all the great dairies we have, the dairy industry is growing. We have some of the best ranching land in the country. We have some of the best feedlots in the country. The Hickmans, unbelievable what they do with their chickens. And then we're now building this whole fish industry, aqua industry down in Dateland. They're producing 500,000 pounds of fresh fish every year.
What type of fish?
Tilapia.
Okay.
And then I believe they got some striped bass. And then on top of that, if you take what U of A is doing, for example, U of A has and Senator McCain was criticizing this, and I don't think he had the information he needed, but U of A has got this center that studies the health of shrimp, and they produce the medicines necessary to keep shrimp alive all over the world. Shrimp as a protein is one of the highest protein producers in the world and feeds hundreds of millions of people, and at U of A, they are doing the things that they need to protect those shrimp farmers all over the world.